podcasting straight from my front porch, where together we can share our inspirational journeys with the world, one story at a time. Thanks for supporting my Inspirational Journeys podcast. My purpose is to provide a platform for authors, creative artists, and entrepreneurs to share their stories while also providing writing tips, encouragement, and inspiration to help you achieve your writing goals through faith and courage. By clicking the Support This Podcast button or following the link in my show notes, your monthly contribution of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 will help me achieve mine. Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, everybody, and I have a special treat for you guys. Today, I have my good friend, fellow author, and podcast host, Jen Lowry on the show. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you.
So, Jen, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, because I could tell people what I know about you, but who tells your story better than you do?
True. Well, first I want to say thank you, Anne, for giving me the opportunity to actually sit in the interview seat. Because like Anne said, I'm a podcast host, and I've been interviewing tons of authors this year, and this is like my first official interview, Anne.
Well, you know what? We've been podcasting together. We've been, three times already? So this makes the third one. So this should be a piece of cake for you.
I still have that nervous energy because you're talking about what you love. You're talking about your babies. Like right now, I'm talking about my books, right?
Right, but see, that's excitement, though, not so much.
That's true. So for everybody, my name's Jen Lowry, and I started off my author journey writing Bible devotionals, but I always wanted to dive in to YA. Middle grades and children's books. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been real busy writing. And I have 11 books now that I've published and more coming out in the fall and in 2020 that I already have on pre-order and ready to go. So that's pretty much me.
So
clean books.
Right. And she's, don't forget y'all, she's also a teacher, a literacy coach, an author coach, a life coach, a podcaster and a dreamer like me. That's why we connected. So we bonded so well when we connected when I first found her on Twitter and then her podcast. So tell me, Jen, what inspired you to be a writer?
All I can remember, you know, so looking back at from my earlier days, I always had a book in my hand. Like I was constantly reading. I can remember books even at a young age, like reading Robin Hood. I have flashback memories of going through the library with my librarian, just finding every Robin Hood story I could find, like fourth and fifth grade. Like I have always loved stories. And actually eighth grade was the time when I started writing my own stories and putting them in like just little 70-page composition notebooks. Just like handwriting all out. And then my mom got me my first typewriter when I was transitioning from eighth grade middle school to high school. She got me that kind of like as my graduation gift. Graduation gifts in eighth grade. So it's just the love of story, I think, is what's always inspired me to, I just love getting lost in story.
Wow. That's why you and I connected, because you sound so much like me. I love a good story.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your process. Are you a planner?
No.
You're what they call a pantser or a gardener?
I am such a pantser. And I really like to think of it as like, okay, first, I'm a pantser. I love my blue jeans. Got them on right now. I love the thought of being a gardener because I think about all of the work it takes to toil a garden. and how much weeds can happen in a garden if we're not careful, and all of the just nurturing and care that we have to take over our stories. So I really love that whole gardener idea. But I love just sitting in front of a blank word processor document and my pro writing a blank screen without being able to look at word counts or, you know, like, am I fitting this particular structure? And I just like to just pray and just ask for the Holy Spirit to just give me the words that are supposed to be on that blank page. And then I just start typing and it just happens. And it's just the process to me is just Holy Spirit driven, the whole from beginning to end.
Wow. Because I used to do that, and now I have to write at least, not every story, but some stories I have to have the bare bones at least, and then work from there.
Meaning you do the planning.
A little bit of planning. What I do is I don't do outlining. I cannot stand to write like those high school English outlines like you see. No, and I just write the bare bones, like, okay, this is what I see here. This is going to happen. This character's going to do, and it's more for brainstorming than anything, especially when I see stories in my dreams.
Right. Yeah. Now, if I get a dream sequence or I get something that I think about, let's say I'm out and about in my day and I just get this one liner or I get something that I cannot lose, because I'm so busy, I'm also forgetful. And I think the more busy we are, we just tend to not hold on to a lot of, you know, concepts and thoughts that we have. We just push our brain, only can hold like so much. So I do write things down in my notes section on my phone. Like if I'm out and about and just inspiration hits me, then I'll write a word or a line or something that I can remember to come back to later. I might use it, I might not, because then the story might take a completely different direction than what I even thought it was going to do.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've had this happen, but you go to use that, and then you go into the editing, and you realize what you put down doesn't always work.
No. And no matter how much I edit something, because I'm so close to my work, I can edit it, and I can feel like I'm doing this great process with editing, and then I'll still miss stuff. Like I'll miss little simple something on a screen. I think my process with editing works so much better if I actually have the hard copy in my hand. There's something about holding the book in its final proof copy, and that's when I'll find more things in that process, is if I actually have the book instead of the screen.
Have you thought about printing your work out from the screen and looking at it like that?
I know a lot of people do that. People have told me they do that, and they'll hold it and they'll make corrections and they'll mark all over the print. But I don't do it because I don't use the ink. Like right now, I don't have ink in my printer. Like I don't even have color ink in my printer.
Wow.
And so I kind of wait. I kind of hold off. And I know it would probably be a good idea if I did that as part of my process, because I can catch things more in print copy. It's probably not beneficial for me to do it, but just thinking about printing out, you know, 275 pages of a novel or something like that, and then, I don't know, there's something about holding it in its final form. It's almost like the pressure, it's there, and you know another reader is going to be holding this final form.
Right.
I don't know, maybe it ups it to me. Maybe it gives me a greater urgency than I have when I'm just looking at it on the computer screen.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
Okay, so you said you published 11 books. How in the world did you get so many books out in so short a time?
So I tried to think about how I would want to do rapid releases, because I've been doing a lot of research on how people, they'll roll out series books, they'll have a release schedule. And I was like, you know what, I could try that. But the thing is about the Hartwell Chronicles, the book that just came out Friday, that's my teenage exorcist book. I've got a copy of it. I got my stack. Like I have a stack. I'm holding my book. So the Hartwell Chronicles is this one. This one I wrote last summer and I did not publish it. I wrote it. I edited it. I had beta readers go through it. And I did that whole process, but I was not even considering publishing this book. It was just kind of like on my computer, just hanging out. And then it was perfect timing, though, when I was offered a book cover, and it just all fell in line after Sweet Potato got postponed. And I was like, ah, there we go. This is going to be my next release. So I took the Heartwell Chronicles kind of from the grave and, you know, edited it again, like rewrote pieces, checked my dialogue, because things in my brain and my life changed since last summer. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked back at the Heartwell Chronicles, I even changed pieces of the dialogue that the characters had. I made changes. And then, so some of the books I banked, I didn't write all of them in a summertime, like one summer. Like some of them have been like banked books that I have had. Then other ones have been new creations, like my children's books. I wrote both of those this summer. My poetry book, you know how you take your poems and you put them on your Google?
I don't use Google, but I'm sure other people would know. I use Word. I have like a folder on my external hard drive for my poems.
So you're putting them in your folder. So like when you write your poetry, you're putting them there in your folder.
In my poetry folder.
And so I had like, so it was just compiling over 300 poems, going through them and saying which ones, you know, was the Lord going to lead me to put in my first poetry book. So I didn't write all these poems from scratch. It was just the process of having to go through and compile them for the collection. So, But for this summer, I did do My Boyfriend's Back. That one was a new book. That one I wrote this summer. And I absolutely love this book. My Angels in Love series. So I want you to know that the 11 books came. Some of them were banked, though. Some of I had. I just had to go through the editing process and
edit them, update them.
Yeah. And I think summer months really helped me, Ann.
Yeah. Cause you're so busy with homeschool and teaching and all that kind of stuff. So.
And when I have a break, I can write. And so you're talking the middle of June all the way till the middle of August. You're talking, you know, 15-hour days. And that's what you're doing is just writing. Like you are taking that protected time to really push the books out. And I think that that's what helps me is having the teacher schedule is because I don't have the full-time commitments in the summertime. And right. I'm still raising my family and I'm still hanging out with the kids. We're still doing, you know, doing life, but I also have protected writing time, which allowed me to write, you know, as prolifically as I, you know, as I could this summer. And now I'm reaping the benefits of that because banking the books, that's a brilliant idea because then you write, you don't have to put them all out in the day and you just, you know, you calendar schedule them all out.
Right. So tell me about your book signing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, when I went for a women's, let me just say this. When I went for a women's conference that I was a keynote speaker, I had a women's event. They asked me to speak. I had kind of like a mental checklist, right? Mm-hmm. I had everything planned. I double checked everything. I laid everything out the night before. I was very meticulous. And I knew because we were driving a long distance for me to go and present. It's not like I'm right down the street. Well, for my book signing, it was, you know, 25 miles away. So I was not, I don't know, I did not feel this sense that of need that I had to pack or plan the night before. But you know where this is going, right, Ann?
Uh-huh.
So we wake up, I get what I think I get everything ready. And I have a separate bag that's already packed from when I went on my nerd camp with Lenore Ryan. So when I went there, I have like a gigantic bag and I have bunches of stuff all crammed in this bag, table decorations, my pens, my bookmarks, you know, I have everything there. Girl, we left the box of books here.
Oh no!
And we got to the signing, we got to the bookstore and the the trunk popped open, and I looked in the trunk, and I saw the really small box of Everyday Mom Challenge. I saw the really small box of the Raptor Revolution, because I only ordered 15 of those. And I was like, where's the Hartwell Chronicles? And that's why we went. And Eli was like, what do you mean? It's in the box. And I said, not that little box, because the Hartwell Chronicles, I ordered tons of those. And I'm like, babe, we didn't pack the books. And he's like, okay, I'll be right back. And he got in the car and he had to drive. And so I went in and I set everything up. My stepdaughter helped me set the table up. We had everything ready and we made the table look busy. Uh-huh. That way nobody would have known that the Hartwell Chronicles was not sitting there. And then when he arrived, we made space on the table and set it up and put the books. But it's such good practice. It is such good practice to have book signings. And you learn something new every single time you have one. Like, I was taking mental notes the whole time I was there, building up these ideas, banking these ideas in my head. So for the next signing that I have at the end of the month, and at the end of the day, my husband was like, okay, I'm getting you one of these big totes with wheels on it that you're going to like be able to pull and carry, kind of like a cooler. You're going to be able to pull and carry your books, and we're going to have everything in all the different books in this one box. So we started making, huh?
You ought to.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Something else that I learned that is valuable for me in the future, and I'm sure people out there who've had book signings before say, of course, Jennifer, you should have thought of that. But it was a last-minute thought. The last-minute thought was to grab, like, these books, like this whole stack of books that I have. Like, grab them and just sit them up there, even though I don't have copies to sell of all of my books yet. Like, take every book you have and put it up there on your table because it can spark conversations, and that's exactly what happened. So I'm glad I thought about that. I wish I didn't think about that ahead of time.
Well, sometimes God puts that idea in your head right at the last minute.
Because my animal book, like, so for example, like this one, I'm holding up Dear God, Please Take Care of Rambo. It was just sitting up on the table, and I don't have, 15 copies of this book yet. I only have my copy, because when I get money into my author business, my first thing to do is now to order a new box of books, now to order something new. I'm not spending, like, my own personal money to try to order this. So I didn't have the money to buy, boxes of Dear God, Please Take Care of Rambo, or boxes of Myrtle's Garden, or boxes of My Boyfriend's Back. I don't have tons of these copies sitting around. I've got like one copy of The Clay in the Potter's Hands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so by me having the one copy up there and letting them know, well, yeah, you can go online and I can actually show them what it looks like. They can see. Then that can produce a sale. And one lady, she saw the title. She said, is this about dogs and losing a dog? And I said, yes. She said, we've been dealing with this for the past year with my family. We've lost our pet a year ago, and my children still cry. I really want to get this book. And so she took my Hartwell Chronicles bookmark so she could have my links and everything. Even though her children were young and they're not going to be reading YA, she's not into YA horror. Then that conversation sparked for Dear God, Please Take Care of Rambo. I'm like, and we need to be taking all of our stuff with us when we go.
Mm-hmm. And y'all, I'm going to tell you this. Jen texted me yesterday, and she said they had her set up right beside a bookshelf with the last lecture.
Yeah. As soon as I sat down, I start kind of looking, okay? Because when I'm a book hoarder, and I'm in this used bookstore, and they had a special yesterday where you could take this big, like a bag, and you could fill it up for $10. So I'm already kind of looking around going, what can I buy? Let me see all these books that I'm sitting around. My eye, as soon as I turned, the last lecturer stared at me and just looked right at me. And I pulled out my phone. I said, Ann, look what I'm sitting beside. Lovely. It's like I felt like I had come home.
That was God. That was totally God.
It was.
That was no coincidence.
Because I sat down in the seat, and we didn't even have the box of books yet, which somebody could have said, okay, that's a brick wall. You know, how do you handle that brick wall? And I look over and I see the last lecture and I'm like, it's being taken care of. All of the, you know, no matter what we faced yesterday, we took care of it.
I've got to, I'm curious because I'm thinking about what going to YouTube and doing this, but have you actually watched the last lecture on YouTube?
No. There's something on YouTube?
Yeah, there is the last lecture is, his last lecture is actually on YouTube from what I've been told.
Oh, no, I will cry, probably.
You and me both.
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought I'd, because I'm thinking about it, and I wasn't sure whether I should do that or not.
Oh, my gosh. It is an hour and six, there's one an hour and 44 minutes. I did not know.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we got to watch that later. We got to watch that later.
Let's do it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, let's do it because I just found it.
Oh, well, yeah. So did you actually write The Raptor Revolution this summer?
No. I wrote the Raptor Revolution years ago, and it was in my Word documents. And so last summer, after I finished writing the Hartwell Chronicles, I was like, what old stories that I have years ago? Because, you know, Sweet Potato Jones, who's going to be published in 2020, it's also a story that was written like in 2007. So, like, I have all of these old stories that I was just not confident enough to share with the world sitting on my folders in Word. And the Raptor Revolution was one of those stories. So I pulled it out and I said, okay, I've got to edit this book. And it needed so much work. Like it was, you know, like you say, bare bones.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much. The more you read, the more you learn, the more you're in this business, the more you write, you know, your writing improves. And it was just, it was really a bare bones book. And I was like, okay, I've got to spend a lot of time in the Raptor. So I started in chapter one and I just went through it as if, you know, I took what I had and then I built the story. And I created what you have already read. And I'm so excited that you read it.
Oh, yeah.
So she's talking about this one, The Raptor Revolution. I'm holding up the book now to show everybody. But it did. It needed a lot of work. And I love the story. And while I was writing it, Anne, do you remember Bazooka Bear when they went to go sign up for the military?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened while I was writing the book?
What?
And I live in a subdivision right outside of Raleigh, and a bear came into our neighborhood, and I'm writing The Raptor Revolution.
Oh, my word.
We're having a bear sighting, and I'm sitting there writing about these animals, and I joked about, okay, that old saying, if you build it, it will come. If you ride it, it will come. So I wrote Bazooka Bear in there, so he became the tough roll call recruiter. So he was the military recruiter in the book. But no, so I did spend time last year reworking it, right, you know, and making improvements. And then this summer I thought I did my due diligence with editing, went back through again and edited it. And then when I published it, and then I got my proof copy. This isn't the proof copy. I have the final copy now, but the proof copy I read with Sam, and Sam and I read it out loud for homeschool. And that's when I would notice, I forgot to, you know, put a quotation mark here, or here's a mistake. I put the wrong character name at the end of the book on one of the lines. So I found some little tiny issues that I had to go in and fix really fast and publish it back again. So that's the story of the Raptor Revolution.
That was an interesting, and I liked it how, even though it was historical and you had all these quotes from like Alexander Hamilton and a few others.
Samuel Adams.
I like that, but you had a modern twist in there too. Movies and the stores and a cell phone or two.
Yeah. And Elvis.
Yeah, and Elvis, exactly. So and Elvis impersonating Hulk.
So that went crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but you got to get this for your kids, I'm telling you.
What, did you really like it, Anne?
I did, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing, an animal war. You never know.
Hey, you never know what happens.
Right.
I know the other day, my friend, she got the Kindle version, and her son doesn't like reading on Kindle. So they wanted the paperback version. So she wanted to get it, and she couldn't make the book signing yesterday. And so what I planned to do for the book signing yesterday was just strictly do the Hartwell Chronicles. Well, the closer it got to it, and because the Raptor Revolution was doing so well on Amazon, I was like, I need to just order a box of books. So I took one of my Amazon payments from last month, and I turned it into a box of books from Ingram Spark for the Raptor Revolution. And I ordered 15 of them to take with me to the book signing yesterday. Just kind of like to have it there in case somebody was a middle grades person in there. And she wanted it for her son. So she came by yesterday. She was like, can you tell me how you wrote American Revolution, kind of like a loosely based American Revolution, but it has Elvis in it. Elvis was not born, Jennifer. What were you thinking? I said it's historical fantasy. I said it's fantasy. It has a contemporary twist to it. I said it's animals in the forest. And I laughed about it. And I said, the Holy Spirit gave me all of this, and I feel like it works together for the good. I said, at the end of the day, I know the joy that I felt when I read this book with Sam, and I knew the excitement of Sam. Like, I could just see it. And he was just constantly interrupting me while we were reading because he had to tell me a new character for book two. And Mama, you got to do that. And if you tell me that such and such dies, I'm not going to read it anymore. So you have to tell me, does he die? Because if he dies, I'm not reading it. I promise you. I'm like, baby, just keep reading. It's going to be okay. Like, to live that out with someone who is very critical about books. I was nervous about reading this book with Sam. But having that experience, I know it all works out for the good. It's the Raptor Revolution. Save Christmas Mountain. Let's do it, you know?
You're not You're not so little baby anymore. It's going to be a writer. I can tell.
You think he is?
Oh, yeah. I can tell. If he comes up with character names for the next book and all this, he's going to be a writer.
Honey. And it ain't just the character names, honey. He's got the names, the settings. He's got the character animals. He's got the animals already picked out. He's got weaponry of how they can do another battle. He's now wanting me to move it from American Revolution, and then combine some elements of Civil War and World War II all in together. And I'm like, Sam, hold on, baby. He's like, when can we have it finished? I'm like, I'm thinking 2020 is when we're going to start doing book two.
Some of the writing, I'm telling you.
He thought that I could just pop out this one now. Like, he wants book two now. And I'm like, babe, I have got a lineup of books I'm working on. This one wasn't even supposed to have a book two. He said, yes, it is. You can't end it that way. And I'm like, baby, this was never a series. I never planned this to be a series, Anne.
Your little boy, like I said, he's going to probably...
It's a series now, guys. Everybody, I'm making the announcement today because of Sam. The Raptor Revolution is going to have a book two.
He's probably going to help you write the thing, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have him help me. I'm going to have him help me because, I mean, he already has O'Malley. He actually has what they look like and how one of them comes in and walk in and do like he tells. Well, yeah, he's got book two. He's going to help me with book two.
Yeah, don't be surprised if he don't start writing it for you.
I told him, I'm like, you better write down these names and these ideas. I said, because if you don't, we're going to forget all these really cool names that you've come up with. So he opened himself up a Google Doc so he could keep track. So he could keep track of the list, because what happened is one day he told me this really cool name, and it was something O'Malley. I don't even remember the first name. And it was just a really cool name. And he was like, Mama, this is going to be this animal, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day he was like, what was that name I told you again? And I was like, aha, you better go start writing these things down. So he had motivation because he lost one of the character names. So that gave him motivation to go and start writing them all down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He may have bits of story, and he may end up putting bits of story in your Google Doc for you.
That's okay. Let him keep on. I'll put his, it'll be Jen and Sam Lowry on the cover of the next book. It'll be
yeah,
fine.
And he'll write most of it. You'll probably have to edit and maybe do some rewriting, but that's going to be so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish my girl was like that, but she, it's hard to get her to read. But anyway, that's beside the point. We're getting
and that might change over time. She just has to find the right book. You know,
right.
That might change. It might change.
Right. It's possible. So anyway, I don't want to get too far off track. Like you said, you released the Hartwell Chronicles on the 13th, which was this past Friday. You know when the Audible version will be out?
So the contract for the Audible version is going to supposed to close on September the 18th.
Okay.
So,
and from what I've heard with Audible books, once you upload them, from what I've heard, it takes 2 weeks for Amazon to approve them.
Okay. So we're going to learn that process. This will be my first transition over into audiobook. So I'm supposed to have Lyric Harper. And you said you like how I added that at the end of the book.
I did. I like that. I want to read that now.
So I got this idea. I can show you guys. I got this idea from another YouTuber, on AuthorTube. And she was like, at the end of all of your books, you need to take within, like, if you write within that same kind of genre to appeal to your audience, you know, add chapter one of one of your other books. And so I even put the cover in for Lyric to transition it over. And then I added chapter one at the very end. So Lyric is going to be also in the audiobook, hopefully within the next couple of weeks too. So we're going to get to learn this process, Anne, and see how it goes.
You know what? Adding chapter one to the end of a book just made me think of something, because that could be a teaser for book one of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And anytime, and so the good thing about self-publishing is that if we write a story later and we say, oh, I could update this book, all we have to do is go in at the very end and add a few more pages and then upload it, you know, upload it again.
Or do like I'm having to do, re-edit the whole thing.
And so you might as well add. So then while you're editing the whole thing, you might as well just go in and add a chapter at the end.
Right. Add the prologue to the second one.
Yep.
But
now, I added the whole, instead of a prologue, I added a chapter.
Oh, okay. Because I've got that prologue first, and then I've got that first chapter. We'll see how it goes. I'm not going to go into too much detail, because I don't want to do any spoilers, because, you know, we'll get off talking about my books when we're supposed to be talking about
See, that's good. It's hard for me, Anne. I'm used to that. Another thing, though, that I do want to do, I want to take the Raptor Revolution, chapter one, and put it on my website.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do that because I have the teacher's guide on my website. So I created the teacher's guide to go along with it, because it's really based off of the fifth grade standards for North Carolina. Like, I made sure that I loosely based it on the American Revolution and some of our founding fathers and historical figures. So that way it could lend itself to great discussions in the classroom. So that's why I made the teacher's guide for the Raptor Revolution. So I put that up on my website. I just need to go in and do a PDF file of chapter one and put it up there too as a link.
Huh, like reader magnets.
Say it again. I thought I lost your audio.
Like reader magnets.
What you mean? What's that?
It's basically like for people who sign up to your email list.
And
a lot of people use BookFunnel for this, but I don't know how that works. But you have but one of the things on a Readzy blog post, which I'm gonna have to send you the link to, that I got last week, about 26 ways to market your book that you can start doing right now.
Okay.
Anyway, one of the things they talk about is reader magnets. And if you put the link to your reader magnet in the front matter and in the back matter, so that way, even if they don't get the book, they can still see it in the front matter when they look at the sample. And then you put it in the back matter, and then you try to, they say try to weave it into your story, but I don't know how you do that with fiction. Nonfiction, I can see it. With fiction, you have to get a bit creative, but I'm going to have to send you that link because he had some real interesting points, and they have the links to the courses about the ads that you were talking to me about. Facebook and Amazon ads and BookBub ads. They have one for that too, but they have links to courses and even the sign up, like the sign ups for those courses, right there on the post, and it's through Readzy.
Okay. Yeah, I love Readzy. Okay, I'll check them out.
Yeah, I'd send you that link because I have it bookmarked on my Google Chrome. So before we get into too much discussion about, you know, I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, I'm trying to think anything else I wanted to ask you before we closed out, because I know you got all these different books coming out, and got one coming out in October.
Bridges.
Bridges, right. Are you going to do anything for, what was it, November?
So November was left open in my calendar, and I know why now, because I thought that I was going to have time to finish up my, I'm calling it a Hallmarky Christmas now, like that Hallmark-esque, it's a clean Christmas romance. I thought that maybe I would have enough time by the end of this month to be able to pitch it to a Hallmark publishing company, because they have those open submissions. But and the way life is going, and I'm only on chapter 8, I don't know if I'm going to meet that guideline or not. So I'm thinking of publishing it myself. And I already have the cover for it. I got the cover made, last Saturday I got the cover made for that one?
Something like that, yeah.
It was last Saturday. So I already have the cover. I'm thinking of November 5th for that month. Let it be my Christmas book, because they say November, right at Halloween, right at the beginning of November, is a great time to release a Christmas story. So I'm thinking of doing that with this novel. And I went ahead this morning on Drafted Digital and put it up for pre-order. Now that is the pressure, because I'm halfway through this book, and I'm like, if I put it on pre-order status, I gotta finish it. So that's my November book.
Wow.
It's gonna be A Magical Christmas Wedding. That's the title of that one.
Oh wow, yeah, that would be really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I love it so much already. Like, it's to honor my mom. So that one is gonna be my November release.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering about that, because I noticed you were talking about on your podcast, the dates and stuff. So, you know, and I noticed November was open. I'm like, what? And now that you explained it, I'm like, oh yeah.
But it was open because I didn't have a book scheduled, but the Lord has a book scheduled.
Exactly.
And it's this one, because I would have never thought at the beginning of the year I would have written an adult clean romance. Like, I just would have never thought about it at all. I'm pulling up my calendar to show you what I've got, because I have Bridges is October 13th, and then my next one is going to be the November the 5th, and it's running through right now, The Magical Christmas Wedding on Draft Edition. So it's going to be set to pre-order. Then Crossings is going to be December 13th. That's book 2 of Bridges. So I did that one strategic to where Bridges, then Crossings, and then I've got Tides set to come out in 2020, which Tides is going to come out January the 1st.
Ooh, so, that's going to be really close. You're going to be cutting it close.
I already have the books done. So those books are written. They are, covers are done. Books are done. What I'm doing right now with Bridges, I went through and I had a professional reader for Bridges. I got a great opportunity to have someone to professionally check Bridges for me. So Bridges has been through that process, but now I'm also going back in and just editing Bridges all over again. And I went from chapter one to the very end, and I've went through and cleaned up a bunch of things. And now I'm probably going to do it one more time before that one comes out October 13th.
Oh, okay.
I have time, but I went ahead and uploaded the final edited copy on Ingram Spark, and so now I'm just getting my proof copy of Bridges.
Oh, okay.
I put in the final, but you know me, I feel like I need the book in my hand
to see everything.
Yeah. And so once I get it, then I'm going to get it before October the 13th, because that way it'll give me time to read it again and see if I catch anything else before putting it back. But I'm praying, knock on wood, let me find some wood, knocked on it, praying that I call everything this time with Bridges.
Yeah, because that way you don't have to do so much editing again once it goes up.
I know.
And having to re-upload.
If I do, I do. I mean, it's a part of the process, and it's a learning process, you know. I mean, we could do this stuff with a magnifying glass, and we could still miss something. That's why I didn't beat myself up about it this time. Like, I honestly just took it as this is a part of what we do.
Yeah, and don't trust an editor completely, because editors can make mistakes too.
Oh, yeah, because I still found some things.
I could tell you some horror stories in this edit, trust me.
And this was my first time going through that kind of process. And I was like, and even though I value input, then as the writer, you know the bigger picture, especially when you know the end of the story, especially like it's a trilogy. So you're only seeing the snapshot. So if you've got all of these unanswered questions in book one, you're not supposed to tie everything up. Mm-mm. There's a lot of that backstory that you might ask for that's going to come and be revealed in book two. And then you'll get the final pieces in book three. And so as a writer, you know a lot more of like the whole scope of the book, of the story. And so I just had to weigh out, you know, the responses and the feedback from beta readers and from, you know, from the editor and everything, you know, through Bridges. But we'll see. I hope that one does really well. I love it. Oh, and I love it so much. I love all my books. If somebody asked me which one's your favorite, oh.
That's like choosing your favorite child or your favorite song, and you've got a bunch of favorites. I mean, really, right? Yeah.
They're like, which is the one that you've enjoyed? I can say I've enjoyed writing middle grades, I think.
I've had
the most fun writing the middle grades. It's been the most emotional writing the children's books, because I had to talk about the death of my dog. Like, that was very personal. But as far as, like, what did I enjoy? Like, My Boyfriend's Back. This one and The Raptor Revolution, both of these, and Lyric. I don't have the copy of Lyric in my hand. I just uploaded the final Lyric yesterday from edits. So now I'm waiting to get Lyric in the mail. But once I get Lyric Harper in the mail, I can show you pictures of that one, guys. But I think middle grades don't have to, I don't know. I just zoom through it. I think that might be a special place for me. I don't know.
But I'm going to tell y'all this. Those of you who are listening, if you want to actually see the books, I really strongly advise you to come over to YouTube and watch the video, because you're going to want to see these, because this is amazing, okay? It's maybe not all of them, but a lot of her books that she's already published, and then she's got more that's coming out, so... Come on over to YouTube after you listen to the interview, or if you want to come watch the YouTube first, that's okay too, but you've got to see these books.
And I'll show the cover of The Raptor Revolution. Sam loved of how all of the animals that worked together in the militia were from like diverse communities, like from backgrounds. And in the middle of the book, he was like, Mama, you realize that you're talking about diversity, right? I'm like, yes, baby, you got it. So he got a lot of the themes in The Raptor Revolution. And on the back, you can, I love how my color designer hid Samuel Adams Squirrely coming out of the rocks. What did you think of the Ring Mountain Boys, my raccoons?
Oh my gosh, they were, boy. There's just so, there are so many different animals and how you connected the animals. I'm trying to keep them all straight. But you had some, and the rabbit, the, I don't know about the raccoons, but the rabbit.
Dr. Velveteen?
Yes.
Dr. Velveteen Wallace.
Yes, he was hilarious. And then you had the Samuel falling in love with.
Yep.
Her name, what kind of animal was she? I don't know, but.
She was a skunk.
Yeah, she was.
Sam knew who I patterned Dr. Velveteen after because Sam knows my brain. And Dr. Velveteen is actually patterned from the character from Anthony Hopkins from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, that was not what I was thinking. I would Dr. Velveteen, the Velveteen Rabbit.
No,
I was actually
kind of channeling how much I love horror while I was writing Dr. Velveteen.
That is interesting, but no, I don't know why, but the connection I made was the Velveteen Rabbit, and I remember being reading that one, and then also being in a little play at the Make It Little Theater, being one of the little like Little Bo Peep. I don't remember. That's been so long ago. But yeah, but still, I was in part of that, and it was really fun. And I guess that's why I made that connection.
Yeah, it's actually a serial killer. That was my inspiration. Paul Revere is the snake because I had to do a rattlesnake because of Paul Revere's flag, Don't Tread on Me. Sam. Like, I think that was one of his favorite characters was Revere. And he loved to read the voice of Revere because he got to do the lisps of all the S's.
Uh-huh.
He loved to read Revere, and he loved to read the raccoons. Like, anytime the raccoons were going to talk, he was like, I'm doing it, Mama. I've got to read the raccoons. And I patterned one of the raccoons off of the Water Boy. Is an Adam Sandler movie, and there's a coach on the Water Boy, and that's who I patterned one of the raccoons after.
I don't know how you would do this, but that one would be good as an Audible original.
Well, it's going to Audible. I already have the contract for it, but the narrator, he was already tied up. He's doing 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so as soon as he finishes, then he's picking up the Raptor Revolution. So I already have the contract established with him. He's an amazing English actor, and his voice is so dynamic. And so he's going to have that British tone all through it. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to love it so much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to that one coming to audio. I think that Lyric is going to be one of my all-time favorite audiobooks, though, Lyric Harper. I think that's going to be just because the process that I've had with my narrator.
Wow. And another thing I liked, how you added the poetry.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Selena the Skunk is a poet. And I think that's like the teacher in me too, is that when you read books and you have opportunities to engage your reader, like in Phyllis Wheatley's work, when she was one of the first African-American women and just women to be published during that time for her works, I got to add Phyllis Wheatley in there. So stuff like that matters to me as a teacher, because then you can do extension work. Like Hope is the Thing with Feathers is one of my favorite poems of all time. So I got to add that in there.
Yeah, and that was really cool. Poetry Corner, Poetry by the Fire. I loved it. And I'm thinking, okay, poetry and novel, why not?
And so here's my son who's not into poetry, right? Sam is not a poet. He does not care about poetry. And I go, Sam, what did you think of the poetry part? Oh, I liked it, Mama. And so then when we got to the end and she got to read to the delegates and she read Hope is the Thing with Feathers, I said, should I take it out? Did you like it? You can't take it out. It was perfect. And so he got to read two famous poems in the middle of reading his war book. And now he's opened himself up to a new genre.
That's like me saying I can't write poetry. I can't write poetry. It's rare. 20 poems says I can.
And I know you can. And they're amazing. And I love them all.
And it took you challenging me to do it. I mean, I had written a couple of poems and a couple of three, but didn't have the idea for the stanzas. And they were kind of really bad attempts. But you know what I did? I went back and found those poems. There were two of them. And I went back and found those poems and added stanzas and separated some of the lines into stanzas and just really changed a little bit and brought them out.
Yeah, and that's what you do.
Right.
But you are a poet, man. You're a poet.
I know, now I am, but I used to say I can't. Well, let's just say the Holy Spirit and, I just said, you keep saying you can. You keep saying you can't, but you're proving to me that you can.
See? And sometimes it's good to have a challenge.
Right, it is.
It takes a risk away.
And that second thought, that last one I wrote, was based on your challenge, and I could not figure out why I couldn't work on the book. I didn't even get a lot done on the book that day, but I took that challenge.
But you also said it helped free you up a little bit.
It did. And I was like, have you ever had that emotional, it's like you feel this heavy weight on you. You feel this, it's tension and it's emotion. You can't understand it. You don't understand it. A song's filling your head. There are songs filling your head. It's a phrase from those songs that just sticks with you and it makes you emotional. You can't figure out what it is. And then you write the poem and then it's like, oh, so that's what it was.
Yeah. All the time. Yep. So wow. if anybody ever needs to be challenged like that, just listen to Anne's podcast, follow Anne's blog. She's putting challenges up there too. You're challenging your people just like I do.
Because a lot of times I may not pass every one of them, but I pass your challenges on to my crew. But you guys
have awesome. To listen to
Y'all got to listen to Jen's too, because sometimes she'll have challenges that I haven't even thought about passing on to others, but because she started way before I did. And that reminds me, what inspired you to get started with your podcast anyway?
So when I first received my publishing contract, I was told that I had to build my social media base. And one of the ways of doing that is to start a podcast. And that can help grow your readership, your audience, your tribe, and you can connect with people. And I'm like, okay, I'll figure out how to do a podcast. And so next thing I know, I'm researching different podcast platforms. And of course, the word gin and free, that's all in the same category. Like I had to find a free place to do that. And so when I found Anchor, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do daily talk through the publishing, what's happening in my life, how I'm balancing everything, and then challenging people. And I don't script anything because this is in the car. If it was scripted, I would be wrecking on the big road because I'm driving. Most times at 6 o'clock in the morning, podcasting on my way to work. That's where most of my podcast shows come from, unless it's like summer months or the weekend. But I'm mainly just talking about life and what I'm learning, and hopefully it can encourage people and challenge them to go out and try some new things with their writing. So it's been great. I think it's helped.
I've got a question for you. How in the world did, I'm getting some feedback, but anyway, how in the world did you start getting feedback for yours? Because I've asked for feedback. I've asked for show topic ideas for my solos, everything, and I get nothing but maybe, you know, from a friend, from a couple of friends of mine or whatever, but I get nothing.
I think that what is the beauty about podcasting is you just go with what the Holy Spirit provides for you. And it's meant to be for a listener out there. Like, it might not be for one listener, but it could be for someone else. And so instead of like trying to plan out the post, like I don't plan out any of my blog posts. I don't plan out any of my YouTube videos or the podcast. It's just, okay, this happens. I get to share it with you. Or this is what I'm working on. I want to challenge you to try it or do it. Or here's some benefits to this. Like, you know what I'm going to be podcasting about tomorrow. I'm going to be podcasting all about my experiences this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I had a feeling you would.
And so, yeah.
But my
It'll be about the book.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's just about the journey. It's not necessarily like I'm trying to set the show up, you know, to hit really big topics that can draw in more listeners. It's just to talk about what's happening on a day-to-day.
Right, so but I also want to engage with my listeners, too, if I can.
Meaning, like, you want to have them to email you, like,
yeah, and send you things. Email me or contact me via my website. I've had some people contact me, but not through the podcast itself. And because I have those links where people can connect with me and leave me feedback and stuff like that. Because I don't mind it being about me doing the show, but I want to, you know, if there's something that somebody, like a writing tip. For example, I'm putting together one on story structure, which I've been, you know, praying about, and I got the course for that too. I'm putting together a podcast and a blog post about that. But then if there's something somebody like for example, another friend of mine told me about, suggested that I do one on dialogue. And if there's some sort of writing tip or technique that somebody, you know, wants to learn about, you know, I'd like to be able to work with that because I don't want to run out of content.
Well, so if that's something that you would like to do, you could make yourself like a, you know how we do the quick mini commercials? Like, you know my commercial that says you can find me where books are sold?
Right.
You could make yourself a short 10-second, 15-second commercial that says, hey, I'd love to hear from you, you know, and you could add it to each one of your shows.
I've done that. I've already done that.
And so just over time, give it time and let those things build. Because like when I first started with the podcast, it was like, you know, I would hardly get a listener. Like I'd have a listener here or there and I'd get so excited. I'd get one listen and I'd be so excited because I knew that there would be one person out there that maybe could pick up a tip or email me or whatever. You know, that was just one person that I never knew. And so things like that always do take time, though, Anne. I've been doing this a year and a half now. And so who knows what it will be like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. We just have to stay consistent. It's the consistency is the key.
Right. I've already got 378 plays so far.
Yay, look at you.
That's something, right?
See? So don't second guess yourself. Just continue to be Anne. Just continue to connect and just put your content out there. Put your heart out there. And then the right people will navigate to you. And you'll form your tribe. You'll continue to build your people.
Right.
Yeah, so don't get discouraged because if you worry about, like, am I doing enough, then you'll second guess yourself. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to record this right now. I hit the record button. Next thing I know, I'm, you know, just talking out to the mass and then I'm done. Do, edit, 5 seconds later, hit publish, go. Then go on about my day.
I guess my thing is because I'm becoming a writer turned teacher. So I'm not a certified teacher or anything like that, where you do the editing tips and things like that. And I may come up with some of that stuff too, but I feel like a writer turned teacher, and I don't want to, you know, I want to give people experience, you know, my experiences and share my journey, but I also want to give, you know, be of value to my listeners.
Right. And you will. I know that the podcast, I don't listen to podcasts. I like to watch YouTube videos. And so I have like a set number of people that I love, that I subscribe to, and I watch them. Like this morning, Bethany Adizeda had a new video up, and it was about September, like dealing with September self-care goals. And so here I am just watching, you know, her as I'm checking through all of my stats and going online and doing everything before church. Like, I just have people that I enjoy listening to. Like, I have people I enjoy listening to. I have people that I enjoy following. I have not read The Stolen Kingdom. That's her book. I have not even bought her book.
Oh, my goodness.
But I watch all her YouTube videos. I need to buy her book. I need to read it. But, like, I watch the people. I enjoy listening to them. I enjoy learning and hearing about their author journey. And it makes me feel like, okay, I'm not alone out here in this stuff. Like, I'm doing my own, you know, my thing too. So I think stuff like that is built over time. Because if I compared myself to some of them, and there's some AuthorTube people, they have like 60,000 subscribers. Like, that would get me like all in a tizzy if I try to say, well, why do I still have 100 some subscribers? I'm just going to continue to put out content. I'm just going to continue to put out material and blog and podcast when I can and try to keep helping people.
I'm going to continue to talk about my process, and I'm going to continue to find these little courses on Readzy, things that I know I can use for the podcast.
Yeah, because then you can do a review. You can do a review of the material that you learned.
Not only that, I can take notes on the material and repurpose it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it helps you as a writer, too.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's helping. Yeah. Yeah. I look at it that way. And then you're out there encouraging other people and sharing the information. Because, like, when I share, like, a tip, or if I share something and they're listening to me for 10 minutes, they might could listen to me in their car, or if they're exercising, or if they're just cleaning house, and they're not having to go and read articles.
Right. And I do the blog post. I do the shorten up the blog post, because that way, if somebody wants to read it but doesn't want to sit there and listen to a 20, 25-minute monologue, they can go in and read the blog post and take the notes, too. So I do it that
right.
way, both.
And then you can do a condensed version.
Yep. That's what I do.
Or you could do a series, like you could do a blog series under right. it. Part one of dialogue, part two of dialogue, if you feel like if it would get too long.
Yeah. I could cut out like examples. I might do examples in the podcast and then just put the information in my own words in a blog post and then add resources.
So that, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. I've got a blog, I've got to find it, but I've got this one creating a message in our writing. It's a blog post that I want to repurpose into a podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too, because all of the content that we've done, you know, in the past years on our blogs, they can be repurposed in a lot of different ways.
Right, and I was listening to somebody talking about podcasting. It was another platform, but yet one of the things that he said was repurpose blog content. And I'm like, hey.
And so a lot of these conversations, too, that come out on my podcast are from conversations that have organically been just between authors, like authors either that like you, like Anne, like my like circle of people. Like, I have a very tight knit circle of author friends. And I'm very grateful because I've met them all through online communities. It's not like, you know, I have an author friend living down the street. No. Like, I've met all of you guys online. So a lot of times things that I talk about in the podcast are things that are just going on in my own little author circle, or what I see happening outside of my circle, or what people are emailing me out, you know, to ask me about, or just through just organic conversations. So that can give you a lot of content right there.
Right, and I saw something from another blogger that I follow, Nicholas C. Rossi's. There was this guest post that he published on his blog about, it was 10 ways to keep your author blog fresh. And so what I ended up doing, and I know we're totally off track on your story, but I think this has a lot to do with it too. Because we're writers, we're kind of, we connect and we talk about this. But you guys, if you're wondering how to keep your author blog fresh, I think you definitely want to go back and listen to my eight tips for enhancing your author blog or something like that. I don't remember. Our eight content marketing tips for your author blog. And so I condensed, like, there were two different ones that went together in two different sections. So instead I had 10, I had 8. And I asked the guy for permission to repurpose that. And so I ended up repurposing it on my own and making that a podcast and a blog post.
Right. And then I have somebody that, you know, they legitimately asked me, do you think that I should blog? Like, do you see the value in it? Because I don't see blogging as something that I should be focused on. And I'm like, I'm not focused on my blog. And so my advice was keep a blog because you can still draw audience, but you don't have to take away from doing this. Because ultimately, I'm holding a book in my hand. If we are wanting to be novelists, if we want to have a collection of books, if we want to write a children's book, yes, research how to put this children's book together. Like, you know, from beginning to end, this came from me researching, you know, how do you put together a children's book? Like, you still have things that you have to research. So why not take the things that you're researching and turn them into a blog or turn them into a YouTube video, a tutorial, or a podcast? Like, share out what you're learning with other people as you go. And then the material that you're putting on a blog, it stays forever. I get people looking at blog posts that I wrote like 2 months ago. When I'm looking at my stats on my blog, I'll see where, 50 people have looked at something that I wrote 2 months ago because it's archived. I think there's a lot of value of keeping hold of a blog. Not to necessarily say I spend tons of time on it, but to keep your blog fresh is extremely important because if you can draw new people into your writing community, then they get to learn about you.
Right. And not only that, the podcast stays up there forever too, the podcast episode. Yeah. Because somebody asked me, another author that I interviewed asked me, well, will you hold that interview for a few days? Are you going to delete it or something? I said, I never delete those episodes. The only ones I deleted the drafts. I never delete published episodes. Because you never know when. That's like Twitter chats talking about this, and this may be something you might want to look at when you're on social media. If you find like chats or groups or whatever, that might be interesting. I found 3 that I know of that I posted about on my podcast one day last week. Well, not last week, week before last. I think it was last Friday. So something like that, something even as simple as that, can be repurposed into content.
And it can be valuable for listeners who wouldn't have known that. I mean, I'm learning something new every single day in this author world. Like every day I get a new insight. I read something new. I hear something new. And I am in this constant state of learning. And so I know that, you know, there's so many authors out there that are in the same boat as we are. And it's just good to be able to offer that to other authors. I say yes. So I'm glad I started the podcast, even though my son was the one who told me, like, because he was talking about watching, like he was listening to podcasts. And that's where it was kind of like, okay, I've got to do all that. Podcasting, they gave us this long list of things that we needed to have. And I'm like, well, podcasting is good. Let's try it.
And now they're saying it's even better than before. For you guys who are podcasters out there, you might want to go looking at this too, because I read another article that podcasting is even more valuable now for authors because now you can optimize your podcast for Google.
So you talk things I don't know.
So well, I saw this, well, I was in a webinar and I got out of it because it was just like, okay, so what's the point of it? Because he was talking about things that I pretty much already knew. He used, you know, he uses a different podcast platform than we do, but he has editing tools that he uses. I'm thinking this guy's going to sell us something. So I left it like halfway through it. But I went and looked in, I did a Google thing, and I might do this one for my podcast too. I might repurpose it and or get permission from the person who did it to repurpose it. Or I might rewrite it, and then for more information, they can use that as a resource. But they're like, and this is more for visual podcasters, for visual side of things too. But you can link to high-ranking websites. Like what they're saying is you can, even if you don't have videos for all your podcasts, if you could download like the, maybe not all the commercials, but like the main audio for your podcast, and then put it up there with visuals, like make a thumbnail to go up there. I won't be able to do this, but you might, Jen. What you could do is you could put your podcast on YouTube, and then link back to the podcast, your main podcast platform, and have people subscribe to your podcast from your YouTube feed.
Oh, from the actual video, like do the links.
Yeah, and put your podcast link in the description.
Yeah, I do the description piece. I need to learn how to do better editing techniques for YouTube, like to be able to, I do like a subscribe button at the end, and I do watch the next video at the end, and I'll put like a Jen Lowry Writes video, it'll pop up. But I need to do better at putting in cards as you go.
You're talking about something I have no clue as to what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can add like all of these little flyby banners that come up on YouTube, and people can click onto the banners for more information and stuff like that. So yeah, I've got to learn how to do all that stuff.
You're talking over my head, because I wouldn't be able to do stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's for me, it's just the bare bones,
and that's fine. Man.
Right. I'm just saying I wouldn't be able to do the visual stuff. But what I saw is you can add visuals, you can add if you had a thumbnail that goes with your podcast episode, or you had a banner or something, you could download your main podcast, your main segment. Or if you wanted to download them all, you could do that. But I don't know if you'd want to go there. If you want to download your main segment, you could put it up on your YouTube feed with visuals.
I can look into that.
And then link back to your podcast if you can subscribe that way.
Yeah, I can look into that, Anne.
Yeah, I would Google how to optimize your podcast for Google. And that's what I did. And you might find some interesting things that you can do.
Okay. All right.
All right, well, where can you find you online?
So if you type in Jen Lowry, it's Lowry, Jen Lowry Writes, then you should be able to pretty much find me everywhere, because that's how I have branded all of my author life on YouTube, Facebook. I have my Jen Lowry author page. I'm on Twitter at Jen Lowry Writes, Instagram at Jen Lowry Writes, and my podcast, of course, guess what it's called?
Right,
Jen Lowry Writes. I'm on LinkedIn the same way, and I have really built a strong professional LinkedIn community where I found a lot of nice author friends out there. So if you've not been on LinkedIn, that's a great place to build an author community. So I'm there for Jen Lowry Writes. And then I've got my actual website, JenLowryWrites.com, and I have a blog as well, Jen Lowry Writes at WordPress.
Right.
If you go to my main website, JenLowryWrites.com, then I have all of my links. I have everything there. I've got my blog feed that shows my, you know, my last four blogs that I've written, and I keep up to date on my website. I just went in yesterday. I try to do a weekly check of my website, just to make sure everything's active, looking at stats, and then updating any content. And it was great to take the pre-order off, because the Heartwell Chronicles is now order status. So I had to go in yesterday and actually say, oh, pre-order's got to come off. I got to fix all of these pages. So I did some updates yesterday too on the website. So cool. I'm always trying to be out there on social media. Even in my busy schedule, I try to maintain my presence and to try to connect with as many people as I can. So it's pretty easy to find me, Jen Lowry Writes.
Yep. So do you have a favorite Bible verse you'd like to share with us?
Oh, of course. So my favorite Bible verse, this has been with me for a very long time, and it is in Psalms. I'm going to give it for you. Gosh, I have so many. But in Psalms 118, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yep.
And for this summer too, because I was in the midst of a busy writing season, I want to read another one too. Philippians 4:13. I know you guys know this one too. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yep.
I think that one has really stayed strong with me. Like, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice, because we need to have joy every day and know that this is a new day, a fresh start each day that the Lord has given us. But he's also strengthening us throughout that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think both of those, when I get tired and weary and a little distracted, or I'll always go to my go-to verses, but I have a list. But those are ones, this is the day the Lord hath made, has stayed with me forever.
Yeah.
They're constantly evolving. God is within her, she will not fail. Like I love that one. But I don't know the, I wish I could memorize what that one was. Have you heard of that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Psalm 46:5, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Like, I love that one. Psalm 46:5. I love that one. I think of that one often, because then that lets me know that, you know, it's a new day. The Lord has given me this day to have joy. He's strengthening me, but he's also within me. So, like, if I combine all of those together, those are, like, power verses.
All right, so do you want to close this time before we close this?
Yes, I would be honored to. Dear Lord, thank you first for your son, Jesus, God. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for building us up. Thank you for gifting us. Thank you for your blessings. Continue to be with us each day. Thank you for our author friendships. Thank you for the people that you put into our lives. Thank you for open doors. Continue, God, to give us the words that you would like for us to speak for your glory. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So we challenge you today to go out there and read to inspire. Write something inspiring and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched 1,000. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day. If you have feedback for the show, questions about the writing life, or suggestions for future shows, there are three ways you can contact me. You can either send me a voice message from anywhere, contact me via my website, or send me an email. The links are in my show notes. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day. So I challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired. Write something inspiring and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched 1,000. Thanks for joining me on Inspirational Journeys. You guys have a blessed day.